Buckle up, listeners, and welcome to Ill-Behaved Women, your new favorite podcast. It is here. I'm L.L. Kirshner, your host, a voracious reader, big and small screen fanatic, and unabashed feminist, dishing on unforgettable women taking center stage, whether it's in today's news, historic figures, must-read books, or must-watch shows. So it's my plan here to celebrate the power of storytelling to change hearts, minds in the world, one unstoppable heroine at a time. On today's show, we're going to be talking about some of the real women who inspired my historical novel, Florida Girls, the fictional story of a troupe of touring swimsuit models out of St. Petersburg in the 1940s, which was a real thing, who took on the mafia. That's the fiction part. But first, let's talk about a few women who have been in the news lately. First up, Stormy Daniels. Daniels is at the center of the hush money trial against former President Donald Trump, who denies the encounter, but not the payment. Weirder still, she says that Trump never told her to keep their encounter confidential, but that he did tell her, "This is the only way you're getting out of the trailer park." Wow. The intimidation did not stop there. In 2011, a magazine paid for an interview but never ran it. That's the tactic that's at the heart of Ronan Farrow's book and podcast, Catch and Kill, about how the media buys exclusive stories in order not to run them, in other words, to suppress them. They have done everything they can to keep Daniels from talking, attacking her credibility, even saying her testimony is irrelevant. What's that saying? A woman's mouth is more powerful than a man's fist? No. The one I was thinking of is, men fear women will laugh at them. Women fear men will kill them. Moving on. Caitlin Clark just signed a $28 million deal with Nike, thankfully. Clark, now you may recall, she recently signed that headline-making contract in April for the WNBA's Indiana Fever. For a $338,000 contract, she was paid out over 4 years, maxing out in 2027 at about $98,000. In comparison, the number one pick in the NBA in 2023, Victor, I'm going to mutilate this last name, Wembanyama, signed a four-year rookie contract worth $55.2 million. Yes, the NBA is more established. It pulls in more money. The difference in pay? Still a factor. I know, because I did the math with my husband. This is why he's my husband. It is not equal by any stretch. But let's look at some good news recently. How about the historic and epic achievement by Cole Brower? She was the first American woman to sail solo nonstop around the world this year. She was the only woman who participated this year. She's also 5'2", which reminds me of a certain someone in my book, Kathleen Young. And she was doing what's known as the Global Solo Challenge, joining a group of fewer than 200 people in the world who have ever done such a thing, which is sail around the globe solo. She stayed in touch with her team by satellite, which allowed her to chronicle her journey, talk about the trials and tribulations. Her Instagram feed is amazing, so please check that out. If you want a feel-good shot of sporty, unstoppable women, it's Cole Brower Ocean Racing, all one word, no punctuation, on Instagram. You know, it was just 35 years ago that the yacht Maiden, with the first ever all-female crew, rounded Cape Horn in the Whitbread Round the World race to secure a place in the history books. 35 years. That's not that long ago. Well, this year, the Maiden saw the first black female crew to race around the notorious Cape Horn. Now, you might think, well, why does this historic stuff matter? It's the same reason all history matters. Because if a girl can see it, she can be it. Girls from all over the world, for instance, they'll be watching and inspired by these sailboating women. And in fact, if the sailboat activity that I'm seeing out in Tampa Bay is any indication, it's already happening. Okay, now I do want to share with you a couple of must watches. First, The Fall Guy. Have you seen it? Oh, I loved it. It's a classic romance tale, but with a male lead, and it manages to have a feminist perspective. Now, what do I mean when I say that? Okay, listen, like everyone else on the planet, I'm completely smitten with Ryan Gosling, so I'm sure that has some impact on my feelings about this movie. But also, there are loads of female gaze shots of the men. The women are not objectified at all. In fact, they are the ones running around taking action while our fearless lead, played by Ryan Gosling, you know, I can't remember what his name was in the movie. Anyway, he's reacting to their power moves. Hannah Waddington, she plays this producer character who is just amazing, and she really sets things in motion along with Emily Blunt, who plays this film director that they, you know, are working on together. So way to go, Drew Pearce, a man who wrote the screenplay. And I also admire this entire production because Blunt and Gosling received what seems like equitable pay for their roles, $10 and $12 million respectively. And considering the screen time and stunt work that Gosling had to do, now I don't know what they're getting on the back end, but regardless, that scale, that those numbers alone, that seems equitable. So I wholeheartedly endorse that one. Now, as for the small screen, I have enjoyed Palm Royale for unapologetically including lots of older women in star turns. I mean, it's been fantastic to see Allison Janney and even Laura Dern. You know, so many of the women, I feel like you haven't seen them in a while. But I have to say, I haven't finished the series yet. The last episode, to me, feels like a long time to wait for the main character, Maxine, to stop shouting, "I am not a feminist." Now, the truth is, though, I would be lying if I didn't admit I said the same thing in the 90s. So who knows what 60s me would have done, 1960s me. So that's why I'm here. So let's dive in. I love talking about the women who inspired Florida Girls, my forthcoming book, not because it's important to note the women of history. That's not what I meant to say. It is important to note women of history because for far too long, history has been littered with the untold stories of women. And I want to change that by talking about powerful women who may not have been, you know, good girls. Like one woman I discovered while researching my book, the notorious queenpin, Stephanie St. Clair. Now, why would I want to celebrate notorious women? Why did they make a movie called The Godfather or a TV show called The Sopranos? Wait, has anyone ever asked that question? I don't think so. Anyway, on to Madame St. Clair, who emigrated from the West Indies in 1912 and quickly realized that the only way to make money in this country if you were a black person was through illegal businesses. After a few months of selling drugs, she was able to employ her own men, bribe policemen, and start a clandestine lottery game in Harlem. Now, as her game grew bigger and bigger, she attracted more and more resistance or, you know, the ire of more mafia people. But she managed to keep control over her numbers operation while financing otherwise legitimate small businesses, specifically black businesses, again, because they couldn't get money from anyone else. Now, lest you think this was all altruism, note she did coerce them into taking players' bets. But hey, that is hustle that I admire, just like people today, women today have to show hustle. She also donated money to programs that promoted racial progress. Now, when she dropped out of the game, her fortune was largely intact. According to the book, Sex Workers, Psychics, and Numbers Runners, Black Women in New York City's Underground Economy by LaShawn Harris, St. Clair told suitors, this is a great quote, please not annoy me. I, Madame St. Clair, am not looking for a husband or a sweetheart. If you do not stop annoying me, I shall publish your names and letters in the newspaper. Anyway, in 1936, she fell for a Bishop Amiro al-Mu'minin Sufi Abdul Hamid. Again, I'm not sure about the pronunciation there. That's based on my time living in the Arabic world, and it may not have the right intonations. But anyway, they signed a one-year trial union, agreeing to hold a legal ceremony at the end of that time, if they so chose. They did not. In fact, not long after their signing ceremony, St. Clair tried to kill Hamid at gunpoint, which is what finally landed her in prison. Though her life ended in a Long Island psychiatric facility, for much of it, she was a force to be reckoned with. So these stories of uncompromising, convention-defying women really spoke to me as I was developing the characters for Florida Girls, especially my protagonist, Thelma Miles. I wanted to write about women carving out their own paths in a male-dominated world. And why? Because we're still fighting many of the same battles our foremothers did. What you may have heard in that story about St. Clair was a lot of what I reported at the top of this podcast that's in the news right now. Pay inequity, struggling to be heard, being suppressed, all of these things still make sense to talk about because women are still earning less money, encouraged to perform femininity, just look at most of Instagram, besides what I just showed you, and discouraged from speaking out. I hope you will join me each show every month as we meet some of history's most ill-behaved women and maybe find some inspiration for our own acts of rebellion, large and small. Now, I also want to tell you that I have a few things coming up in connection with my book. First of all, I am really excited to announce that on June 4th, that's a Tuesday, at 6 p.m. at the St. Petersburg Museum of History, I'll be giving an author talk titled Florida Hustlers, Dreamers, and Queen Pins, where I'll be diving into even more of the fascinating real-life stories that inspired my fiction. And then on June 6th at 7 p.m., let's raise a glass together at the official book launch party hosted by the incredible Tombolo Books. And when I say let's raise a glass together, I am actually going to be bringing some of the Forever Young elixir that I have mixed up for you to hand out at the event. In other news, I also wanted to share that my book, Blissful Thinking, a memoir of overcoming the wellness revolution, was recently named a finalist in the nonfiction humor category by the prestigious Forward Indies Awards. It is truly a labor of love that I undertook with that book because I wanted to share my misadventures in the world of wellness fads and self-help scams so that you don't have to. And that's it for this inaugural episode of Ill-Behaved Women. I hope you will join us next month when I talk about, well, we'll find out then. Okay. See you then. Stay unruly.